International Missions, and thank you for the ways that for so long this church has been a strong supporter of that, to sending missionaries to share the gospel of Jesus. Bless this service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Christ of Christmas did not come to introduce Santa Claus. He didn't come to introduce alcoholic parties. He didn't come to encourage people to buy so many gifts that they get so deep in debt that they're way behind on their spending and have all that stress and worry in the months to come. But Jesus Christ, he didn't come even to bring a holiday. He came to bring a holy day, a day for us to worship him, a day for us to praise him, a day for us to glorify him. He is worth loving. He came to forgive us of our sin. He came to save us from hell. He came because he wants us to spend eternity with God in heaven. He is to be shared with others that we interact with. He is to be shared around the world as we give to send missionaries, and even as some go as missionaries. The whole purpose of the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for International Missions is to help support missionaries, to encourage missionaries to go, and to help to pay for their ministry. You know, we think about Lottie Moon and her life. You know, Lottie Moon literally gave her life, starving herself to death in a time of great poverty, to be able to feed more Chinese to keep them alive, as she had given her whole life in sharing the gospel message with those Chinese. Lottie left her wealthy family and went to China, really to live as a pauper, but went to sharing the gospel of Jesus. Her commitment was to reach young women for Jesus Christ and help them to be able, as they grew up, as they married and raised a family, to encourage them to raise their family to love Jesus Christ and to know Jesus Christ and to serve him. We think about Lottie Moon and what she did. Her whole purpose was to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ wherever she went. When she came home on furloughs, she would travel different places sharing the gospel and encouraging our mission board to send more missionaries and to raise funds for missionaries. Several things here I want to look at this morning about what Jesus Christ came to do. First of all, he is our Redeemer. Look at verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. He came to redeem us. He gave his life to redeem us from the wages of our sin, from that eternal punishment of sin in a devil's hell. God sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin. But you know, so many people today choose to pay their own penalty. So many people today are going into hell because they refuse to believe on Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our responsibility is to live lives in obedience to God, to serve him, to love him, to minister in his name, to love all people as we love ourselves, that we would be encouraged to share others the message of Jesus Christ, to minister to all other people in the name of Jesus. The Christ of Christmas reveals that God's love to us as he came to reunite us with God by faith. You see, when we're born into this world, we are close to God. We have a relationship with God, but we all become, as we get older, have fallen into sin. We've chose our own way rather than the way of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a result, when that time comes, we're condemned to hell. But Jesus came offering us forgiveness. He came to call us to repentance. He came to call us to become Christians, to commit our lives, to walk with Jesus and to serve him by faith. You see, our redemption depends upon our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It depends upon our repentance of sin and obedience to him. Second thing we look at is the Christ of Christmas is the image of the invisible God. In verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. You know, we can't see God, but we can see the Jesus Christ. And as we see Jesus, we see God, the scriptures tell us. We look at Jesus and the ministry that he came to perform. We know that he came as God in a human body, growing up to live a sinless life and choosing to be crucified for our sin. As we look at that, as we look at Jesus and what he did and who he is, we understand that we can truly see God. We can see God in his marvelous creation. You know, drive across it or fly across it, and what do we see? We see cropland and pastures and hills and valleys and mountains and rivers and timberland and lakes and the sea. We see livestock, birds. We see the sun, the moon, the stars, the rain, and the sun. We can see so many things on this earth that provides for us, so many beautiful things that we enjoy. But there's even something greater than that that we can't see. We can't see what's inside of this earth. And all of those minerals and everything that's within the earth's surface, from the oil, and I won't even begin to name. But so many things underneath the earth's surface that we can't see provide for us to have a great living. We, even though we can't see them, we know they're there. Well, we have a tendency to look at people and judge them by what's on the outside, just as we can't judge what's underneath the ground by looking at the above ground all the time. We can't look at the face of people and really understand what all is in their heart and what all is in their mind. Some of the people that we may judge to be not really the top tier of people, maybe some of the greatest people that we've ever seen, greatest people that we've ever known. It's just that we can't see their hearts and we can't see their minds, but when we get to know them, we see something different than what we had seen before. We understand that just as we get to know what's underneath this earth, that there's something great and marvelous there. There's something great and marvelous in the hearts and minds of people, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter where their background has come from, no matter what side of town they live. We can understand that God has something great in mind for them, and so many of them are doing a marvelous job of serving the Lord and Savior. Look with me at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. We see here that Philip had trouble understanding about God, understanding who God was. He wanted to see God. He had been with Jesus all this time, and yet for some reason he couldn't see God. John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus came into this world as a little baby, the Christ of Christmas, to show us the Father, to point the Father out to us, to show us how to get to heaven, to show us how to understand God and how to get to know him, how to praise him and how to glorify him. We see and experience Jesus, and by doing so, we understand who God is. We understand his love. We understand his mercy. We understand his greatness. The living God is so marvelous, so wonderful. We can't even begin to give all of the adjectives to describe him. But we know he's a God of love. We see God in the lives of people that have been changed by their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We see God through the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible. We see God within our churches. We see God in the lives of people wherever we may go. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was involved even in the creating of this world. How marvelous it is to think about who he is and what he has done. But back over to Colossians chapter 1, we see that in him, there in verse 16, that all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. We see that in Jesus Christ, all these things were created. Jesus was involved in the creation. He was involved. We go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we see Jesus was involved in the creation at that time. We see the scriptures tell us that he was the beginning and the end, that Jesus has always been alive, but he humbled himself, coming to us at that Christmas as a little baby. How marvelous it is. How wonderful it is just to think of the humility that he showed. He has been even involved in the creation. He's been involved in life throughout history, but he came to us as a little baby, needing all of his needs met by somebody else. Praise God for Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. Praise God that we can see and understand him. You know, we look about this world today and we see that Jesus was involved even in helping to set up and organize this world. There's rulers of different kinds. Many of those rulers are good. Some of those rulers are very evil. In other words, we see that many have followed Satan instead of God. Those who have followed God and obeyed him are good. On the other hand, those who have chosen to follow Satan are rebelling against God and are promoting sin throughout this world. Jesus tells us that about a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, and that's the demons, that's those that follow Satan. Satan was cast out of heaven. And many powers of this world are satanic because they have chosen him. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 18. We see the words of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 18. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, why was Satan cast out of heaven? Look back to Isaiah chapter 14. We see why Satan was cast out of heaven. And we see a very dangerous sin that Satan was guilty of, a very dangerous sin that is in the lives of each of us from time to time, sad to say, but it's in the lives of many all the time. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Five times, notice the pride of Satan. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Not, will you help me, Lord? But I will do it. I'm going to overpower God with Satan's attitude. Satan's never going to overpower God. He knows he's already been condemned to hell. But he wants to take everybody with him he possibly can. The third thing about the Christ of Christmas is that he existed before everything and nothing exists without him. We've already spoken to that just a little bit. But back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Praise God for Jesus Christ. How hard would that be for one who has been the ruler, one who has been king, one who is Lord, to come as a little baby, to come humbly as he did, to come humbly knowing that the cross lay ahead of him. But Jesus did it all. The Christ of Christmas came because he loves us. The Christ of Christmas came because he wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. He came as a little baby, and he can always be trusted. I wonder if we turn that around, can we always be trusted by God? Can we always be faithful to God? Are we always willing to obey God in whatever he calls us to do? And then the fourth thing we see about the Christ of Christmas in this passage, he is the head of the church. Look at verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He was nailed to a cross and died. He died on that cross. But death couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. He arose from his grave, and he lives today. He is alive. You know, we look at the head of the church. Pastors aren't the head of the church. Deacons aren't the head of the church. No committees are the head of the church. Nobody's the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's in control. When we trust Jesus enough to obey him, the church will grow and reach people for him. The attitude of the people within the congregation are completely changed and totally different. Jesus Christ loves us so much. His church grows as we obey him. His church grows as we become fully devoted followers of Christ and seek to make fully devoted followers of Christ from unsaved individuals. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Here's why Jesus came. He's already told the people that he came to seek and to save that was who it is lost. But once we're saved, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow Jesus, and we can become fishers of men. So many people say, I can't witness. I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to answer their questions. Jesus gives the answer. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You don't have to know. He knows. Follow him, and he will accomplish through you what he once accomplished. Follow him, and he will make you to become fishers of men. And then the fifth thing that we see in this passage about the Christ of Christmas, Jesus came to draw us to himself. He didn't come to judge us. He didn't come to push us away. He came with outstretched arms to draw us unto himself. Back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ came to reconcile us unto God. We shared a few minutes ago about when we were born, we belonged to the Lord, but sin separated us. Jesus came to reconcile us. He came to reunite us with God. He came to save us. He came to love us. He came to help us. He came to encourage us. Jesus Christ is the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas is one that we need to celebrate. We need to worship. We need to praise. We need to glorify as we get together with our families. And we're not going to do that. But as we get to serving him, praising him. Jesus is a Christ of Christmas, not just in Christ of Christmas and his love and his ministry to flow through us. To encourage, we need to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love all people. Even Christmas offering for international missions is scheduled around Christmas as a reminder. Came to our mission board to start an offering around Christmas. Her desire was to reach people for Jesus, but because of her commitment, it's named our profits from our businesses. And along with that, we're to give. Look at Matthew chapter 23. We find Jesus Christ as he came out tithes and offerings. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus, throughout this 23rd chapter, was bringing attention upon the scribes and the Pharisees for their lifestyles and for their attitude and for tithing. This is throughout the whole Bible teaches about our responsibility of tithing. But Jesus said, you do unmercy as an offerings. the living by justice and mercy and faith. All of these are important. They're all essential for us as Christians as to how we're to live. That's what the Christ of Christmas is about. It's about each of these things that we've talked about this morning. You know, as we sing an invitation hymn, I want to encourage you today, if you've never yet believed on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to come. Save us from Satan's grasp, from eternal hell. Lord, we just pray this morning for each one here who has a need in their heart to make a commitment to Jesus or to call upon you to do so right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me.